Blog Talk Radio.
You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah. We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there.
Welcome to Break On Through. Here you can travel realms uncharted, blur the lines, break the chains, open yourself to possibilities waiting to be discovered on the other side. I am Pam Ray. With me is my co-host, Intimidus Rex. Rex and I are poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. Now, if you find that tonight's show is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. Also, make sure when you get a chance to check out the poetry anthologies put out by Late Night Poets, because when you purchase those, you not only get amazing poetry, you help support these radio shows. And hello, Rex. How goes
What's
it?
What's up? Oh, wow.
You know, life is good. Well, good, good. I'm glad to hear that. Life is good. Typical day of reading poetry. Got a contest judge, got a contest started. Of course, you know, tonight I'm looking forward to delving into some great poetry, hanging out with you. You never know, maybe another cool poet or two. Actually, most of my day consisted of me looking out the window at the fat squirrels and bunnies that have been running around, you know, having extra time to eat. You know, so yeah, life is good. And we are going to start, and I would like to give a shout out to both Rosie and Hats. Rosie is on the board and possibly listening in, I believe. And Hats is heading to work, but you know, she'll, once she gets there, she'll be joining us. You know, personally, I think everybody's jobs should let them listen to the late night poets broadcast. It should be like, you know, a job requirement. And our first few rights are going to be carryovers from the Break On Through contest with the digital artwork of Scarlett Chow. So, what do we got first, Rex?
We have... Open up. Damn it. We have Carnation Queen by Garden Delight. Oh, Life of a Carnation Queen by Garden Delight. That was yours.
All right. The Life of a Carnation Queen by Garden Delight. Cocooned in lush cotton candy petals, a sanguine smile gives way in accepting nature. Her laughter rings out in pleasing notes, voice modulated like a singer's. Joy is the order of each day for this carnation queen. Nestled in layers of blushing pink, flounces, she breaks her fast with vitamin water. When rain begins pattering on the roof, she moseys on outside, seating herself beneath it, face upturned. Radiant describes her afterwards, a bit droopy in the petals, covered in glistening raindrops that sparkle like her personality, her contagious grin dimpling both cheeks. Tonight was reenactment of the planting time and past dragon interference. As goddess, she got to ride an eagle through the sky to battle and defeat the Leviathan. Riding home to shouts of victory, she had a privileged seat at a festive meal with gifts of food and adoration by her people. She looked forward to this fun all year. End poem. And your thoughts, Rex?
A nice little, almost an upgrade to a children's poem written to the point of adults. I like the picture. It's really pretty. And a touch to alliteration with a cocooned in lush cotton candy petals, a sanguine smile, nestling layers of blushing pink flounces. Nice description there for carnation petals. I like that. And that next line down, is a play in itself. She breaks her fast with vitamin water, both the thought to offering up the fast itself, but also the idea of breakfast and vitamin water. So I like the play in that, a double note to a bit of fun. A bit drooping the petals covered in glistening raindrops that sparkle like her personality, her contagious grin dimpling both cheeks. So it's a fun little storyline on the note of a fairy, and the back end is walks in that world of enchantment that children have and believe in fairies and all that, but walks through an adult thought to the piece itself.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. Absolutely, yeah. Great comment there. I really felt like this was a rite that works for all ages. It keeps the interest of both children and adults. I like how this personifies the flower, personifies nature. The pink carnation, by the way, symbolizes love, fascination, enchantment, uniqueness, devotion, mother's love, gratitude, and innocence. A little tidbit there. But I loved her imagery in the first stanza where she says, cocooned in lush cotton candy petals, a sanguine smile gives away. And I like how this speaks on, you know, festivities. You know, it has the idea of a joyous celebration of festivities of nature. I also like how it seems almost to go delve into the realms of almost like a Nordic mythology. With the as goddess, she got to ride an eagle through the sky to battle and defeat the Leviathan. I also like how I think that speaks on the idea of a festival where a battle is reenacted, almost like the thought that somebody who got the honor of playing the lead part. Great right and very well done. All right, Rex, back to you.
Intoxicating Melody by Spectre Hunter. Within this forest lies a beautiful nymph where an enchanting melody can be heard, causing all to dance, swing, and sink until the witching hour wherein they disrobe. Bewitched lips explore as hands roam flesh, bodies melding into one in a rhythmic orgy. Moans and notes blend, an erotic symphony reaching far and wide from a musical spell. With a final note, screams of bliss combine with growls of eruption, leaving her followers spent. Giving tribute before departing, they wait her call, her intoxicating song, to entrance them once again. And poem.
Great read there, Rex. Such a wonderful imagery and metaphors. I love the sense of movement and seduction within this. It's truly captivating. Speaks on the sensuality and the magic of the forest music. It kind of makes me think of the god Pan chasing after the nymphs through the forest. I really thought this had some wonderful lines all the way through, but I especially like, melody can be heard, causing all to dance, swaying in sync until the witching hour wherein then they disrobe, bewitching lips explore as hands roam flesh, bodies melding into one in a rhythmic orgy. It's really quite a passionate rite that speaks on not only a physical sensuality, but the intoxication of the music itself. So wonderful rite and very well done. And Rex, your thoughts?
Well, it takes that fantasy note and draws it down a little bit more to the richness. The witching hour, wherein then they disrobe, bewitched lips, hands roam flesh, bodies melding into one in a rhythmic orgy. Moans and notes blend, an erotic symphony reaching far and wide from a musical spell. That's kind of that Pied Piper note to it, but walking a very different tone. It's all sensual in that note. And giving tribute before departing, they await her call, her intoxicating song, to entrance them once again. So it's kind of that note to everyone's at her beck and call, and it's a free-for-all in the moment. And hits that note of a Midsummer Night's Dream, where the frolicking is quite noticeable.
Absolutely. I like that comparison. Great comment. Yeah, I can totally see that, the whole Midsummer's Night thing, dream thing going on. Very cool there. Very cool. Ravi said that poem gave her flashbacks to yesterday's Art of Seduction show. Robbie popped in on the board, and he said that I walked into another orgy, because last night we were talking, we had some conversation about orgy. So I don't know, Robbie just, I think his ears perk up. That's what I think it is. I think he hears the word orgy and his spidey senses peak. You know, and he's got to come take a look and see what's going on. yep. All right. And what do we have next, Rex?
Color of My Sky by Naomi Serra. SoundCloud.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Here we go.
Color of my sky. Clouds hover over my head, smeared in oil paint. Bright blotches of green. Go. Oh, yes, go. Smile, laugh, and run, and run, and run, and dance into your arms. Open wide for me, just for me. Then splashes of yellow. Caution. Upcoming curves. The day our I love you slowed, then started piling up to litter the roadside. Then sprang across the horizon, bleeding stains of red. Stop. As our words fell into gutters, buried into cracks and sidewalks, that I tried, oh how I tried, to skip over, sinking further, further into long lost oblivion, the sky thick with gray. Mist to fog, to rain, to thunder, and then but black, as a murder of crows lifted from fields of golden wheat to disintegrate into silent specks, drifting till disappearing, then open wide, but void. End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Naomi. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Rex, what did you think of this beautiful poem?
Well, Naomi's dipping more into disillusional these days. Again, this piece, it rolls through that note of you've got to stop, caution, and go, you know, traffic lights. But it's rendered into the bite, not just the picture itself, but walking through first the ease with the green. Go, oh, yes, go, smile, laugh, run and run and run, dance into your arms, open wide for me, just for me. And then the caution comes out with everything slowed down, then the dissolution with the reds, and then the darkness taking over, the depression, the ordeal of loss in the moment as she rolls through black as a murder of crows, lifted from fields of golden wheat to disintegrate into silent specks, till disappearing, then open wide, but void. Kind of hit up with the back end hits off, walks in that note of grief, but not yet finished with the seven stages itself.
I like that. Very cool. Man, this was such a difficult contest to judge. There was just so many good writes. Naomi's was one of them, of course. I really liked how she was inspired by the three pictures. And if you look at the three pictures that she put together, you know, the one is the main color is green and then yellow and red, the idea of go, pause, and then stop. Really just brilliant imagery and metaphors. I really love the way she got inspiration from those three images. This was a wonderful write on the different phases of a relationship that eventually becomes a void. I really like, and she does. It's very powerful and emotive. There's a real sense of despair and, you know, the sinking, as she says, into oblivion. It's not only the relationship and the loss of words, but the sense of being pulled into depression. I really like this all the way through, but I do especially like then spraying across the horizon, bleeding stains of red stop as our words fell into gutters, buried into cracks and sidewalks that I tried, oh, how I tried to skip over. And, you know, sometimes we just can't. Sometimes we have to face the darkness within those cracks. So, you know, amazing write and very well done. And what do we got next?
Private Interview by Liquid Mind Forever. Again, yours.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right. A Private Interview by Liquid Mind Forever. They know not, they know nothing of the silent butterfly of the night, a magical phantom, a flight of dust. You ask me, are you happy? I answer thus, I have a roof, a bed, food to eat, a family of sorts, family all the same. Slavery is not something to which one endeavors. One is not happy being enslaved. However, in time, the mind readjusts to circumstance. Survival knows only of staying alive. For me, I dance, I sing, I play music. I get up in the morning, I wash my body, I prepare breakfast, I do laundry, I attend classes, I rehearse, I wait for nightfall to dance, to sing, to play music, poem. And what an absolutely stunning piece. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, two things. It kind of walks that note of a lower character in a musical that is waiting for her chance to move up the ladder, so to speak. She's living on the back end of things. Are you happy? I have a roof, a bed, food to eat, a family of sorts, family all the same. Survival knows only staying alive. For me, I dance, I sing, I play music. I get up in the morning and wash the body, prepare the usual normality of life. But it also can hit on that idea of someone, one of the lower wives in a harem.
Yeah. I could definitely see both of those. I thought, given the that the artist is Taiwanese, was born in Taiwan of Chinese descent, and the artwork itself has a lot of Oriental influence. I did think along the lines of like a geisha, and that kind of lifestyle. And I like how this is written in the idea of an interview. I actually have done a similar poem myself with the idea of someone being interviewed, a blind person being interviewed was a Victorian sex worker who worked at a spanking house where men went to get spanked. I like the humanity that Liquid Mind Forever brings into this. And I like how it reads like an interview, but, you know, it's what do they call that when one person is speaking in a play? A monologue. Like, I could see this poem. I could see someone standing on a stage performing this rite as a monologue. And I really thought this was an amazing rite on someone who you see the sadness in their circumstances. They're trapped in a life they didn't ask for, a life of slavery. But they're finding happiness despite those circumstances. And being aware that there could be so much more. There could be more than just the mind and the body being enslaved, but we always adjust to our circumstances. And I like how she brings it to music. You know, so many cultures, when people have had nothing else, they've been able to turn to music for comfort and for a bit of happiness in difficult times. So amazing, right, and very well done. And let's see. Oh, and what do we got next, Rex?
Click, click. At the Art of Scarlet Show by Peter Solin. Well-mannered castanets, dry clean dress, Spain for wandering tourists. Whores of neatness, look, don't touch, my dreams of late, no bullfight, old fella confused in airports. Uniforms and manicured slut, heels of seatbelt fastening down the Heathrow tarmac. Looking pizza supreme, menus of acceleration, fortune charging, bound for cheap Thailand. Pubescent girls by the dozen to shower in sperm, quill of surfacing whales, washed up on humid beach, tsunami of a bankrupt tourist, besieged by visions of elegance, precision, groomed Venuses plucking strings, melodic fashions with diamonds, vogue options, beauty plus in the realm of myth, far from touching, no rough handling, Munch with palette knife, Vincent with ear, Rodin with advice. Squeeze and cast, candid art the boss, models to caress. Those measured castanets, dry dreams to never wet myself, soil a Bangkok bed. Memories to strum, girls with gum, wallet stolen, spots of syphilis, return home a branded man, longing an art of sneer, indifferent, sheer indifferent. Degas behind the dance, bending women to wash in tall hotels by airports. No more those mystic bitches, prim hostess of terms and conditions, no more to tuck me in. All the world of smart fashion, pre-pubescence with lipstick on, cheap with bargaining, smiling. But queens of advertisements, fertile gods of atheists pouting. Receptionist going, click, 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 falling out of Olympus. And poems.
Great read there, Rex. As always, an intriguing write by Peter. Oh, and just to let you know, I did put the carryovers from the Twisted Tuesday show on the board because I figured just in case they're needed. I really like the imagery in this. It's vulgar and visceral, hard-hitting, edgy, and gritty. You know, it takes a powerful look at the fashion industry. I think sex work and the fashion industry and its manipulation of young minds and bodies, at least that's some of what I've plucked from it. It also makes me think of the idea of, you know, just traveling to larger cities, to different places to engorge oneself in the sinful pastimes away from the watching eyes of people, of neighbors that know them. And I really like washed up on a humid beach, tsunami of a bankrupt tourist, besieged by vision of elegant precision. And that part, the bankrupt tourist, was what made me kind of think of that whole idea of traveling somewhere to spend extra money on indulgences. What else here? I like always his references to artists like Degas, Behind the Dance, Bending Woman to Wash in Tall Hotels by Airport. All a world of smart fashion, prepubescence with lipstick on cheap, with bargaining, smiling. The idea that the advertisements that draw people in, especially the young women, into what they are belittled into, bewitched into thinking is going to be a life of glamour, but rather becomes almost like the despair and downfall of their self. So amazing rites and very well done. And Rex, I'm interested to know what thoughts you got from this rite.
Well, let's see. It's mainly about selling out and indulging because it does walk in not just models. You've got the idea of because you got Vogue options down here, melodic fashion with diamonds. You got the idea of grooming and selling because you got pubescent girls by the dozen, the shower and sperm, quill of surfacing whales. The idea of the big money people coming into town, whores of neatness, look, don't touch, that rolls into that note of walking the red carpet. What else we got? Groom Venuses, plucking strings, melodic fashions with diamonds. That hits on the idea of overdressing the orchestral backgrounds, especially the women. The thought of no rough handling, Munch with palette knives, Vincent with air, Rodin with advice, kind of hits on that idea of be careful because you might end up losing something. Models to caress, that walks into that arena of Miss Whatever, well, the universe, America, Miss Georgia Peach, whatever, the idea of, you put them out and some of them kind of cozy up nicely to the judges for a little extra because he does hit a soil of Bangkok bed, which goes to the ease of what you can find in foreign countries. Then you've got that hidden notes of, oh, you come back with a little more than you went there in the first place. You're coming home with syphilis. And what else we got? All the world of smart fashion, creepy vessels with lipstick on, cheap with bargaining, smiling. The idea of grooming and what comes down the line, but drugs to keep you super thin, and by the time you figure it all out, you're washed up because only the really, really good models actually have a life past the idea at age of, say, 29 or 30. Because by that time, most of the girls have gotten a bit too far past the thought of where the advertisements want to go. That's why they use the young ones. You look at anywhere that's mounted on buses, Times Square, in Tokyo, around the world, all those pictures of girls are actually, they're not women, they're actually girls right around 13, 14, 15, because there's a lot more to be done with a little bit of dusting and paint magic to make them look a certain way. Then they get tossed. And the falling out of Olympus kind of walks that note of those who get caught think themselves the gods and how they fall down straight down the ladder that they once enjoyed being at the top of.
Amen to that. Great comment there, Rex. Wonderful observations. All right, and what do we got next?
Mercury and Earth by Scott Sharp.
All right, and we have a recording for this, so here we go.
Mercury and Earth. Mercury flows, fingers extend into the drizzle of arms, Mercurian atmosphere, night sky painted orange and red, lava-filled amulet strung and beaded about her bodice, skin taut stretched over fire-fed bones, her circular disc of movement, rotating hips of revolution. Hands at 8 and 2 o'clock, two worlds, parallel time. Energy of earth pulled from the ground, like the tongue from a lyre. Sound from the hollow of God, and words from the womb of poetry.
Wonderful read and write there, Scott. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. And Scott won silver in this contest. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, that's those last three lines me into a note of the silver-tongued devil that offers up everything in the moment that speaks to the ear, because he does get on the first circular disc of movements, rotating hips, lava-filled amulet strung and beat about her bodice, skin taut. It hits me with the idea of some silver-tongued, not a devil, maybe a gigolo that offers up the magic in the moment that speaks to her ear, and she gets cooed into whatever he has in store for them.
I like that. I like that. Cool interpretation and great observation. I just thought this had such brilliant imagery and metaphors. I like the phrase mercury and atmosphere, speaking on the poison of mercury, or how the planet mercury, is so extremely hot. Almost the idea of being within a hostile environment. I also love how this personifies time, with and hands at 8 and 2 o'clock, two worlds, parallel time, energy of earth pulled from the ground like the tongue from a liar, sound from the hollow of God, and words from the womb of poetry. I like how there's almost a science fiction element to this, the idea of a connection between parallel universes, the connection between the idea of God and the words of the womb of poetry. And I like how this speaks on, the revolution, the idea that the dance, the voice of the poet becomes the revolution, becomes the movement that is required for us to move forward. So amazing, right, and very well done. And what do we got next, Rex?
Got to get it. Swim in the Sky by Naomi. That one's yours.
All right. And we are starting our new contest, which is the poetry inspired by the art of Alma Thomas, who I love her artwork. She has such wonderful, bold use of color. I'm sure most people know her artwork, but those that do not, make sure to check it out. Being said, I'll go back to Naomi's poem, and this is Swim in the Sky by Naomi Sarah. Has anyone noticed the sky today? A pocket full of blue laughter, greeting the rolling green, bright and soft all at once. The sweet calm as the clouds sail by, gently passing on the whisper of the wind, as white pebbles swirling into infinite grays, blending in bluish splashes, as ivory beluga whales and silvery dolphins twirling in the perfume of salty water, fine spray spurting like a flurry of snowflakes, then pause and sigh deeply as you drink in the sunset, sprinkling the smoky sky with birdsong, freckling it with rainbow petals as if wildflowers had melted upward, inviting your eyes to savor rather than simply look at as your gaze rests upon its steady pulse, bathing in the serenity of this quietness, breathing in the colors that spread as the smile of ones you love, infusing your soul, raising you higher. End poem. And such a brilliant and beautiful write by Naomi, who got gold in this contest. I really felt like her poem was such a wonderful reflection of the artwork. And I will comment more, but first I'd like to hear your thoughts, Rex.
Well, it's an abstract bite at the picture itself, but it offers up an almost surreal notation to what most people miss, but without actually seeing it, but dreaming it. The idea of, a pocket full of blue laughter for the sky, greeting the rolling green, bright, soft, all at once, the sweet calm as a cloud sailed by. But it's a note to actually dipping into the, or melting into the scene itself, becoming that that note and part of the strawberry field, so to speak. Sort of which does walk into a abstract with the ivory beluga whales and silver dolphins twirling in the perfume of salty water, fine spray spurting like a flurry of snowflakes. So it does dip into the abstract angle as well. Then the second half is then pause and sigh deeply as you drink in the sunset. Another note. So instead of that pocket full of blue from the sky, all of a sudden everything changes in the moment. So you're walking into a different angle, sprinkling the smoky sky with bird song. Again, a touch of dipping into the surreal, freckling it with rainbow petals as if wild flowers have melted upward, inviting your eyes to stay. But so it hits on that, the last back end of this hits on that note of actually living within the moment rather than just observing.
I like that. I like that. And yeah, you're right. This does have a nice touch of surrealism that is a great, like I was saying, a reflection of the artwork. Wonderful comment there. Yeah, I really like this because her use of imagery and colors and her words that were both a combination of being straightforward and, you know, like concrete and surrealism blended together, I thought really worked well with the artwork. You know, this made me think of the idea of just laying on the grass, looking up at the sky, imagining the different shapes of the clouds. I mean, it just, you know, it has that whole idea to me of just noticing, like you were saying, noticing what's going on around you, you know, appreciating the beauty of what you see. I mean, such wonderful imagery, beautiful meditative lines, an amazing write on looking up to take notice of the heavens, which sparks serenity and joy within the spirit. And I really like this all the way through, but especially then pause and sigh deeply as you drink in the sunset, sprinkling the smoky sky with birdsong, freckling it with rainbow petals as if wildflowers had melted upwards. You know, take time to notice those sunrises and those sunsets and the clouds and the stars and the moon and, you know, all that goes on above and around you. So amazing write and very well done. And what do we got next, Rex?
Gotcha, Alma Thomas by Eric Stenson. And this is SoundCloud.
Okie dokie, Smokey. All right. Here we go.
Gotcha, Alma Thomas. Marvelous color matrix usurps green computer matrix dream. No neon ones and noughts proposing aught. Hand-painted colored dabs, ticker tape on canvas. Freedom of expression consecrates celebration's fair. Clues and color use festoon. Blues music sounds as the painting rains down. Nina Simone's, I wish I knew how it would feel to be free, rains down its color. Hard-fought freedom bought by an artist's dedication. Magical, mystical paint pigment opened highways and byways. Brass band jumps in there too. Etta Jones croons, I just want to make love to you. Paint dabs shimmy shape to the rhythm. Blues streams become figures. Silhouettes shimmy shape between ribbon shadows. Feel the pulsation as a free spirit shares a painted ticker tape parade. With Nina Simone, she puts a spell on us. Gotcha, Alma Thomas. Colorist extraordinaire. Hard fought, hard won. Beautify a world of drab and dreary. Pay it forward by entraining minds to mime colors, vibrational frequencies. Louis Armstrong in calls with what a wonderful world. Skies of blue, the colors of the rainbow, paint pigments and musical notes, the recipe for pure bliss. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Eric. Absolutely delightful. Thank you for the SoundCloud. And Rex, your thoughts?
It's quite the piece for the picture itself. It's kind of funny that he's got Nina Simone and Louis Armstrong in this, because I just saw something about those two and Alfred Hitchcock. Alfie turned them down, but I guess Nina Simone and Louis Armstrong had their arms bent a bit as a rolling propagandist for the CIA back in the late 40s and into the 50s, using them to promote whatever deal they were getting into and evolving in the moment. So that was kind of a, and I just saw that yesterday, so that was a funky little note. And
cool.
I do like the Biden is using jazz and a little bit of blues and a little bit of magic and mystery, hitting on the idea of the pigments and the stylization as kind of a rain falling, so to speak. He does use that. He hits on three rains down its color, hard fought freedom bought by an artist's dedication. So it's just it's kind of movement for the picture itself, because he does offer shimmy, shake. Ribbon shadows and pulsation. So there's movement in the piece. Well, not so much, you could imagine movement, but it offers up that movement itself.
You know what? You're absolutely right, Rex, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of the things I said in my comment to him, because I really felt like there, within Alma Thomas's artwork, there is this sense of movement created when she uses these bold dashes of color to create lines and circles. It's almost as if you could see the parade or the dancing going on within her artwork. Hold on, I'm sorry. I just had to get a drink of water. But anyways, so yeah, I noticed the same thing in how his poem copies, not copies, but, you know, offers up a tribute to that. You know, and this was such a wonderful tribute. It was the silver winner in the contest. It really, his lines in such a brilliant way with his imagery and metaphors celebrates and honors the movement and musicality of the art of Alma Thomas and the genuine spirit within. I chose Alma Thomas because, you know, not only do I like her artwork, but she's an African-American, or she was an African-American artist who was groundbreaking in the area of surrealism, painted, or, you know, not surrealism, but abstractism painted by African-American women. And I really like how Eric's references to blues music, Nina Simone, Etta Jones, you know, pays tribute to that culture. I really did like Paint Dabs, Shimmy Shake to the Rhythm, Blue Streams Become Figures, Silhouette Shimmy Shake Between Ribbon Shadows, Feel the Pulsation as a Free Spirit Shares Her Painted Ticker Tape Parade. Like, you can just imagine with Nina Simone, she puts a spell on us. You can actually imagine the idea of Alma Thomas listening to these classics, the voice of Etta Jones or Nina Simone, and listening to their music and allowing it to guide her paint strokes. So, amazing write and very well done. And what do we got next, Rex?
An Unsettling Revelation by Julie Buck. I tap my head. Plans? Are you in there? I have one shot at this, so don't deprive me, nor ignore me. What do you want? More buttered biscuits with honey? I'm open, and my cotton jacket and I are ready to ride the ferry. Across the salt water we go, over the humid Gulf of Mexico. I waited this, to see us both on the same boat, holding hands, no question mark. One thing I've learned from our orange and blue travels is it doesn't always have to be dark. No more damage, no more foxy ways to misbehave, not even a penny, let alone a nickel, for your dumbass thoughts. Just shut up and ride the waves. And poem.
Great read there, Rex. Oh, man, I really enjoy Julie's sense of humor, and I can so relate to that first line. I tapped my head. Plans, are you in there? I really like how this speaks on the idea of how we transfer, you know, from that stage of life where everything has to be planned, you know, where nothing can be out of place, where we have to know what's going on, to the point of, you know, just riding the wave. Don't overthink everything. You know, as always, she's got such a raw honesty within, you know, her poetry. I really like how this really speaks on learning to find the path that leads to freedom of expression. You know, the idea of, you know, an expression of self that comes when you let go of having to control everything. I do think the sound of buttered biscuits with honey sounds particularly good. I might make that for breakfast tomorrow. But I also really like no more damage, no more foxy ways to misbehave, not even a penny, let alone a nickel for your dumbass thoughts. Just shut up and ride the wave. Wonderful lines and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
Connection, being on the same page in the moment. One thing I've learned from our orange and blue travels is that It doesn't always have to be dark. So you got that essence right there with those three lines of conflict. No more damage, no more foxy ways to misbehave. There's a duality, opposing sides, no more damage maybe from his end, no more foxy ways to misbehave her end. Not even a penny, let alone a nickel for your dumbass thoughts. When you got that, no, there's too much quiet in the room. You have a penny for your thoughts. Just shut up and ride the wave. It also can walk a sensual note in the moment, being on the same page.
I like that. I like that. Very cool. Great observation. And what do we got next?
Rainbow Moon by Betty Page.
Oh, I like that title. That is such a Betty Page title. Very cool. Mosaic rainbows scattered cross blue universe, shimmering diamonds, bright, pretty pieces, glossy, precious works of art, gemstones glistening, watercolor dreams, sweetest whimsical magic, paints Milky Way skies, spilling in glitter, mystical starlight twinkles, panoramic views, dark haunting moonlight, iridescent beams of light twirling, looming high, intricate details, paintbrush swirling back and forth, perfect artwork, bold abstract colors, streams merge creating rainbows, dancing cross full moon, lasers cascading, glowing neon radiance illuminating, end poem. And Rex, your thoughts?
Well, I was just looking at the pictures to see which one was represented. I guess it has to be number 5, I'm guessing. But anyway. I do like the thought of mosaic rainbows, the implication that, because it does, the pictures do offer up that note, because there's little touches of lighter color which define the bite to the pictures themselves, and they do look like they're mosaics, tiles themselves. So you get that idea of laying them in piece by piece. You've got to have each color perfectly met in the moment to where you're going with each one. So it does walk with the thought of mosaic rainbows scattered across the universe, shimmering diamonds, the thought of transference of color and shape, bright, pretty pieces, glossy, precious works of art, gemstones glistening. Again, that note to mosaics. The watercolor dreams still walk that way as well. The Milky Way skies. Remember the background? I like the spilling in glitter. Mystical starlight twinkles, panoramic views. That does offer up a thought. Right? It is a larger picture to be walking within. And then the darkness, haunting moonlight, iridescent beams. And to finish out, lasers cascading, glowing neon radiance illuminating. Kind of hits on the idea of moonbeams.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I have to agree. Wonderful comment. Yeah, I really like, and Betty won the bronze in this contest because she was another one who I thought was such a beautiful, amazing reflection of the artwork, of the, as you were mentioning, the use of color, you know, the perfectly laid out patterns, and the emotion within the colors. I really liked her 575 lines. I enjoyed and appreciated how she used her words to paint with boldness of neon rainbows. And her description of the artwork is perfect. Bold abstract colors, streams merge, creating rainbows, dancing cross full moon. I also like, again, that she has, you know, like a wonderful sense of movement and mysticism, spilling in glitter, mystical starlight, twinkles, panoramic views, dark haunting moonlight, iridescent beams of light, twirling, looming high. And I like how that those lines there speak on the idea of our inner light that can reach through the darkness. So amazing, right, and very well done. All right, Rex, what do we got next?
Where Sky and Earth Come Together by Scott Sharks. Black patches, birds landing, pupils in the whites of the eyes, colored skies, beauty in a head wrap, yellow, red, and orange sunset, tossed in waves rising above the rocking sea. Birds of freedom fly above the rocky crags with gallantry. Birds of freedom fly along the new day's shore with gallant, with majesty. Birds of freedom fly, fly with you and me. End poem.
Great read, Rex. And what a wonderful write by Scott. Brilliant imagery and metaphors. He puts in his AN that he was inspired by prompt one with a hint of thoughts of African-American women's traditional head wraps, colorful and spiritual. And I like that he picked up on that because if you look at pictures of Alma Thomas, she does dress in that very colorful, bold, you know, almost traditional, like, you know, expression of African fashion. I don't know if fashion is the right word, but you know what I mean. And so, and if you look at that artwork, it does have that bold use of color that expresses oneself. I really, really thought this was an amazing write on the desire for freedom, which is burned within every human spirit, and how sometimes the only way to find that freedom, to get out of that darkness, is to find the self-expression within art. I really liked this all the way through, but especially beauty in a head wrap, yellow, red, and orange sunset tossed in waves rising above the rocky sea. Birds of freedom fly above the rocky crags with gallantry. The line, birds of freedom fly above the rocky crags with gallantry, make me think of the Jonathan Livingston Seagull book and how he decided to fly higher than all the other seagulls and be true to himself. So, you know, just an amazing ride. Very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
He did dip into that picture quite well. I mean, black patches, bird landing. It does hit on the note, the black patches in the picture. And they do kind of look like trees. Then you got the thought of the rocking sea on the forefront on the bottom, which works that way too. The thought of, then you got the colors in the background as a blue, red, orange, or yellow orange. So he's got that too, but he's looked deeper into the painting for that note of what he sees. So I like that note, and then dropping it, rolling the back end. In tune with the birds landing, now it's the birds of freedom fly with you and me, fly with gallantry, with majesty. So it's a matter of meeting one's own expectations and having the strength and will to see beyond the scope of where you are in the moment.
I like that. Exceeding one's own expectations and looking beyond the scope of where you are in the moment. That is the kind of comment that could be a prompt for a contest. Very cool, Rex. All right. What do we have next?
We have... Sorrowing River by Hats.
Hello, Hats.
Is she with us? I don't know. They might have got to work, and they put her to work right away. All right, I'll let you continue on.
That's yours.
Are you reading this? Oh, it's mine. Ah, okay. Well, there you go. I'll be happy to read half. Sorrowing River by Hats. In blue wet waves to rest my mind is impossible. They won't lullaby me to sleep. The seasons are changing their clothes and scent, but my gaze is blind. Sun sets down in its apricot sunset, and I sit in my cave. 3 months after his death, he's lighter than air, and through my days, each single day, the lightness of his non-being weighs as stones wrapped in the melted iron. Will my chest flutter with breathing? Will heart dance and cheeks blush again? End poem. And that is absolutely stunning. And your thoughts, Rex?
Oh, the sorrowing river offers up the note to where it's going, but you got to read the whole thing to get it. Starts out with blue wet waves and kind of finishes on a different, a slightly upbeat note, but still there's a question with it. The blue wet waves, tears, to rest my mind is impossible. They won't lullaby me to sleep. So there's that note to sleepless nights as well. And then the idea of seasons changing, their clothes and scents, that offers up a note to losses, because she does mention clothes and scents, and it isn't just for the season itself. My gaze is blind. I do like the note of the apricot sunset. That does offer up a nice hue. And I sit in my cave. So there is a darkness, cold, and definitely lonely, surrounded by rocks or surrounded by the walls you built yourself. Then you hit on that third stanza with 3 months after his death, he's lighter than air, and through my days, each single day, the lightness of his non-being weighs as stones wrapped in the melted iron. There's a heaviness right there. It still haven't fully come to terms. The seven stages haven't walked their way fully through yet. And then the two questions to finish up. Will my chest flutter with breathing? Will heart dance and cheeks blush again? There is a note to wanting to feel more than just the blue and to kind of sit lonely in that cave.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Wonderful comment, Rex. And, yeah, this does speak really well on the grieving process and how it can be very difficult to get through. And sometimes you can spend quite a bit of time in that cave. I did love the imagery of the apricot sunset. You know, I like when people go different with colors. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with orange, blue, red, yellow, but sometimes it's nice to see it's nice to see people get creative with color. And I like how when she says 3 months after his death, he's lighter than air, and through my days, each single day, the lightness of his non-being weighs as stones wrapped in the melted iron. There is no time period for grief. You know, somebody may, you know, stop grieving as much sooner than somebody else. I also like the questions asked at the end. And, you know, there's amazing imagery and metaphors throughout this. And it's really a beautiful and emotive write on being unable to see the colors within the world, the colors within life, because you're trapped within your own despair. And I like how that cave becomes a metaphor for hiding away from the rest of the world, for needing to be alone in your grief. So amazing right hats and very well done. And what do we got next, Rex?
The Ceramists by Jody Milton. In a world of clay, malleable and wide, the canvas vast where our dreams reside. Shaped by will, by thought, and by heart's decree, molded by hands unseen, yet felt in spring. Adjacent to our minds, this earth thus lay, a reflection of thought in the light of day. With every touch, a new form begins to rise, crafted by desires that in our heart lie. This world, a mirror to the soul's intent, responds to our call in every moment spent. As potter's wheel spins, so does our fate. In hands of our will, we sculpt, create. No form too grand, no ideas too slight. In the realm of mind, all finds its light. Boundless potential in the clay we see, a testament to what we can truly be. With every thought, a ripple in the mold, a story waiting, eager to be told. In this dance of creation, we partake, leaving imprints of our essence in its wake. So let your will, like gentle streams, impose in this world of clay where possibility grows. For in the art of life, we each hold a part in shaping this world with the clay of our heart. As the sculptor shapes the clay with care, so do we with dreams that in our minds flare. This world, our canvas, awaits our touch. In the hands of our will, it transforms as such. So venture forth with your heart open and free. In this world of clay, let your spirit be. For as your will imposes, so it becomes. In this dance of creation, where inspiration hums, our energies will flow together and the world will live as one. And poem.
Great read there, Rex. And really an amazing write by Jody. I've always had an appreciation for clay and ceramics. I had one grandmother who did worked in ceramics, another one who worked in pottery, which is very similar, but my one grandmother would make the homemade bowls from the clay, and I've always thought it was such a beautiful process to watch the manipulation and the shaping of the clay through the hands and the movement of the potter's wheel. And I always have felt like it's made for such a great metaphor for the idea of us being shaped either by a higher power or by the circumstances of life or by our own will. I really thought this was a great write on creation and the energy exchange between the potter and the clay. I really enjoy how there's a spirituality within this piece, wonderful lines all the way through, but I especially like no form too grand, no idea too slight. In the realm of mind, all finds its light. Boundless potential in the clay, we see a testament to what we can truly be. So let your will, like gentle streams, impose in this world of clay where possibilities grow. For in the art of life, we each hold a part in the shaping this world with the clay of our heart. And I like that he reminds us that we all have a purpose, you know, that we all have this potential to become something greater than we are. So amazing write and very well done. And Rex, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
It's a full-on metaphor on what one does and how it affects and how you create that which comes from not just the mind itself, but within hands, within walking down generations, within teaching. It's a full metaphor to the angle of how you walk within that world and what you leave going through it and passing off into the next. It's a matter of shaping it the right way, as opposed to just running through it like a bull in a china shop.
I like that comparison. Yep, I get it. Oh, cool comment there, Rex. All right, what do we have next?
Mosaic of the Sun by Guilty.
pieces litter the sky. Everyone has a purpose. Rarely we learn why. Rays of the sun stream into a populace, nary a stray gleam. Reflecting off the surface, glass and steel, no assured purpose, blinding the eyes. End poem. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, I get that's probably the shortest I've seen from Guilty. Only six, nine, 10 lines. 10 lines, maybe 35, 40 words. So, is it 1, 2, 4, 8, 12? Okay.
Yep.
Definitely the shortest piece I've seen from Guilty. It's a straightforward piece itself. That second stanza, rays of the sun stream into a populace, nary a stray gleam. The idea of the sun wending its way over and through everything. The reflection off the surface, glass of steel, no assured purpose. And that does bite at the idea of also keeping the blinding the eyes. There's that note of you go to a big city, all you see is tall mountains of steel and glass, and it does offer up that note of taking away the background, the scenery itself. Like you go to New York, you can get into Central Park, you can get lost in the middle of it and seem like you're in an island itself because of the huge granite motif that's left in the background that has been left there from the Ice Age. All that big rubble being dragged across the landscape. Yet, outside of the note of trees, it's only a small oasis in the middle of that which reflects only back at you without actually reflecting the beauty of the land. And you don't ever get to see what's held in the night sky at night because you can't see the night sky at night. It's too much light, too much ground interference to actually take a note, look outside and see a sky full of stars with absolutely nothing beneath it to spoil the view itself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That is so true. Because I've been in big cities and I've lived out in the middle of the woods. And yeah, that when you don't have that electric and neon light interfering, the beauty of the night sky is so much bigger and bolder and brighter. So great comment there, Rex. This is a wonderful brevity by Guilty. I did look at his page and I found at least one haiku written by him. So you know, there's at least one poem shorter than this one, but it was a wonderful brevity. And I liked your observations on it because it did help me to see the poem in a new way. But, I really liked his imagery in this, and it did speak to me on the pieces that make up the whole and the search for meaning in life. Reflecting off the surface, glass and steel, no assured purpose, trying to find the how and the why of life as you travel through the landscape or the cityscape of which you live upon. So amazing write and very well done. And what do we got next, Rex?
The Choice by Blue Right 76. The ray on the morning, sighing leaf in the wind, scent on the flower, honey divine on the floret, or the color on the rose, might be the twig that fell, the moody tough bark after the fall and winters, the choice of a voice never to be its own, yet labored on the stage, the choice of fight to color, its own, its very own.
Great read there, Rex. And a wonderful brevity by Blue Right 76. You know, I really enjoy how people have been inspired by the colors and the vividness of the artwork. I thought this was quite an emotive and expressive write. I like how it breathes life into a scene that allows the senses to soar on the wings of serenity. I also really like how this speaks on, you know, finding your own voice. And one line leads beautifully into the next, but I especially like the moody, tough bark after the fall and winters, the choice of a voice never to be its own, yet labored on the stage. I like that. It's like the Shakespeare, all the world's a stage. And the idea of someone who chooses not to speak up when they could. So amazing write and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
I'm going to go to the literal back end of this. Yet labored on the stage, the choice to fight the color its own, its very own. The note of changing of the season, where the leaves fight from green to yellow to orange to red before they brown out. Its own, its very own. That's their that's the labor on the stage. That note to the back end of summer, where everything changes in the moment before that leaf finally gives up its note to life and lies dormant on the ground.
I like that. I like that. A different interpretation, you know, and it's really cool when, you know, somebody has a different interpretation and you can see a poem in a different way. And I like that this is one of those poems that can be taken either metaphorically or literally. Very cool. All right, Rex, what do we have next?
Hushed Moments by Heavenly Angel.
All right, Hushed Moments by Heavenly Angel. The freshening breath of blowing breeze, purple velvet plush cloud alight with burnt orange peel sunset, I watch the ripples play atop silvery stream, reflecting the fire in the sky, living for these moments that are too sacred for words. Stars shine like shooting blue diamonds, basking in the glow amongst the Milky Way. Cicadas sing their evening song. Trees bow their boughs, swirling leaves signifying peaceful silhouette in stillness. Upon the whispered breath of night, I fall trance. I see but dreams to fill, tracing through celestial skies, tranquil, hushed moments dancing across my flesh. End poem. And this is, we're getting into the carryovers from the Twisted Tuesdays contest, Live for the Moments, which was inspired by, there's a picture of a hand reaching out towards the trees and the sun, and a sparrow was landing on the fingers, and above it is the quote, live for the moments you can't put into words. And Heavenly Angel was the bronze winner in this contest. And your thoughts, Rex?
Oh, the descriptors walk that tone of the picture itself. A wonderful thought. I mean, like the angle of the refreshing breath of blowing breeze. Nice touch to open with. But the purple velvet plush clouds alight with burnt orange peel sunset. Nice note right there. I watch the ripples play atop silvery stream, reflecting the fire in the sky, living for these moments that are too sacred for words. A sense of awe walks right in there. And then the note to the evening getting a little bit more in tune. Stars shine like shooting blue diamonds, basking and glow amongst the Milky Way. Our cicadas sing their evening song. It's colorful, it's divine. And then back end is that note of actually living it in the moment, dancing across my flesh.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This really is just such a wonderful rite on living in the moment. Amazing imagery and metaphors. A beautiful rite on those hushed moments that speak to us in delightful paint strokes of color and light. I really like this all the way through, but especially living for those moments that are too sacred for words. Stars shine like shooting blue diamonds, basking in the glow amongst the Milky Way. Cicadas sing their evening song. I like that she brings in the cicadas singing their evening song, because it becomes not just about the sense of sight, but about the sense of hearing and listening to the music of nature around you. So wonderful, right? And very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
Thinking Back by CRL 17. When I think back, I remember the first time I saw you at the dance, praying to myself, I had the chance to meet you. When I think back, I remember where we went on that very first date, thinking about all the magic the two of us could create together. When I think back, I'm taken back to a wonderful place and time. I think about the picnic, drinking strawberry wine. When I think back, remembering those long walks along the shore, thoughts of the first time we made love. When I think back, years of sharing hearts, those hours of love, knew right away you'd been sent from above. When I think back to the fact we grew up much too fast. We never knew the keys to help make our love last. When I think back, my heart feels an emptiness so hard to explain. Though the years have rolled by, I still feel the same. End poem.
Oh, Rex, that was a wonderful read. And such a beautiful and emotive write by Chuck. I'm glad he was inspired. I like the repetition of the line, when I think back, because that can mean different things. That can... It's almost bittersweet thinking back to those times that were so good and so beautiful, but then eventually, you know, everything fell apart. And I like in the end where he speaks on the idea of, you know, things moving too fast and, you know, not learning, you know, like it's easy to keep a relationship together in those times where it's new and it's fresh and it's beautiful. But when you start going through difficulties, that's when you learn whether or not something is meant to stay together. Like I said, wonderful use of repetition. I like how it speaks on the idea of a love that did not last, but made a really deep impression in the heart. And I did really like, I think back to the fact we grew up much too fast. We never knew the keys to help make our love last. When I think back, my heart feels an emptiness so hard to explain. Though the years have rolled by, I still feel the same. You know, some pain is just difficult to let go of. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, bittersweet, yes. Heartache, yes. What if? Because this kind of walks that note of the one that got away and all questions unanswered.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Great observation. All right. What do we got next?
Cherished Moments by Talia R. Sivan.
All right. Life is just for living. It is my turn, right?
Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought. life is just for living. So with every breath we take, let us inhale and live it to the fullest. It's the things that we encounter that flatters our hearts and make us fonder. These beautiful moments that surprisingly happens to us, the effect after the smiles it leaves, a very big deal. You just feel so good inside. Spontaneity is what counts, the joys of the moment, as things that matter the most. Sometimes we entertain angels unaware, and sometimes angels enter into our lives and make our days much brighter and better. These are the times we cherish the most and are most profound. A smile on someone's face says so much. No need to be touched. Those are the special moments we do not want to be erased from the depths of our heart. And your thoughts, Rex?
Well, Kali is walking into those perfunctory moments that don't nearly come round enough. And if you don't hold them for what they are in the moment, then it really takes the joy out of life itself. So the idea is, hey, take notice. Embrace them in the moment for what they are and smile along with it, because it offers up a lighter note to life itself, that you got something that you weren't expecting and it just gave a rise to your day where it might have been clouded.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I really did like how this, you know, speaks on embracing and finding joy within the unexpected and simple pleasures of life. Really a lovely and heartfelt rite on cherishing the moments that provide ourselves and others with those great big smiles. And I love how she brings in the idea of the entertaining angels and angels, earthly angels that come into our lives to make it better. So, wonderful right and very well done. And what do we have next, Rex?
Pure Joy by Matt 29. Live for the moments you can't put into words. The inescapable feelings you can't put into words. Experiencing the sun's warm rays caressing you. Tasting exotic food and your senses being tickled. Discovering a mountainous view you've never seen. Being surprised with a birthday cake by friends, watching a toddler discover building blocks, the feeling you get after a good spring clean, hearing an operatic voice and being mesmerized, a smile of friendship between two long-term friends, achieving a dream and recognizing this achievement, dancing at a concert to your favorite artist, allowing yourself to delight in solitude and serenity, generally feeling joy without being able to put it into words.
All right. Well, the poem wasn't posted, and I have to admit it's been a while since I read it. So would you mind commenting? I posted it in the room, but I didn't really get much of a chance to read it.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind commenting first.
Well, it kind of walks on the same thing as Talia, but a little bit more in depth. The thought of experiencing the sun's warm rays caressing you, the idea of actually getting outside and enjoying getting vitamins the old-fashioned way from the sun. The thought of actually enjoying food that sparkles your senses in a way that you had exotic food. You might consider it exotic, even though it might be something that is around quite much, like partaking in alligator tail or a buffalo, whether it's a burger or a steak. Something different, something that sparks the senses to a new level of taste. Discovering it's a mountain you've never seen. Again, the note to what's around you that you can actually delve into, which are Most are free. Some you have to pay for. Prize with a birthday cake with my friends. That's a free moment. Watching a toddler discover a building blocks. Another free moment. A spring clean. A good rainstorm cleaning out the mustiness of the day. Hearing an operatic voice and being mesmerized. Again, that note to sound. The sound that offers up something besides just a note to noise. Sound that gives pleasure. It could be the rainstorm, an operatic voice, the Googles of a toddler discovering those building blocks. Achieving a dream and recognizing this achievement. Dancing at a concert, again, music. Generally feeling joy without being able to put it into a word. Kind of get lost in that moment where something makes you smile and you have trouble offering up a discernment and clarity in voice.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, sometimes the joy of the moment is so purely overwhelming. And it doesn't need words, you know, like obviously we have to do a lot of talking when we comment on poetry and that time words are needed and necessary. But sometimes you can just let the spark in your eyes, the smile that crosses your face and the purity of your emotions just speak for you. And I really like how. As you were saying, he goes really in depth with this. Such a beautiful and heartfelt rite on embracing the joyful pleasures of life and treating all the senses to those experiences. I really like that this was one that wasn't just about the things you look at, but also the things you hear and the feel. I really like being surprised with a birthday cake by friends, watching a toddler discover building block, the feeling you get after a good spring clean, hearing an operatic voice and being mesmerized. I love that idea of, you know, being mesmerized by the power of music. And then dancing at a concert to your favorite artist, allowing yourself to delight in solitude and serenity. I like how he reminds us that you can find joy in arenas of life that are completely opposite. You can find joy within the crowd. You can find joy within the solitude, you know? So just an excellent write by Matt 29 and very well done. All right, Rex, what do we have next?
Left Behind, The Sound of Surf in a Conch by L.P. Conway.
Oh,
stop
it's my
looking.
Turn to read.
Don't matter.
I'm sorry.
Stop looking. You won't find us in church, Robin.
Oh, you're reading the poem. Sorry.
Left Behind, The Sound of Surf in a Conch by L.P. Conway. Stop looking. You won't find us in cherub heaven, neither horned hell. For all the coliseums built of stagnant, stacked rock fall with the minds of the same men that designed them. For man's architecture is still a stillbirth, lifeless, only to be able to hold the lives of people passing through them. You will find us decaying in bark, and the unfurling of new sprouts in waterfalls mist and the warmth of morning sun in rushing winds and the clock of shelled beaches in spring's nectars and the acerbity of licked wounds in drought's flames and the petrichor of bloated clouds. We are all here with you and through you. Look to the sky, for you are the star cast in our eyes. In you, living our death is brought to life. And boom.
Great read there, Rex. I apologize. I got a little confused because I was thinking it was my time to read, but you know, and then I'm like, who is he talking to? But my apologies to you and to Mr. Convey. But a wonderful read there, an amazing write that I gave the silver in this contest. Brilliant imagery and metaphors. There was a certain darkness to this write more than other ones, which I thought, well, this must have been for a different contest. Oh, this was for a different contest. That's right. This, okay. So that's why. This was for the Scribbles Upon Pages contest. So I can see now why there was a bit more darkness to it. It was a different contest, a different, you know, expression of art and self. But really amazing imagery and metaphors, very thoughtful lines that spoke to me on the cycle of life and death. I really like, for man's architecture is still a stillbirth, lifeless, only able to hold the lives of people passing through them. It kind of makes me think of the Tower of Babel and the idea of how, you know, like the story of the Tower of Babel and trying to build to reach the heavens. And being made aware of our own limitations. I also really like in spring nectars and the acerbity of licked wounds and drought flames and the petrichor of bloated clouds. I love the use of the word petrichor, but to combine it, because petrichor is a beautiful word, you know, when you think of the idea of the rain and the smell of you know, after rain, and then combine it with bloated clouds, those clouds that are just waiting to burst, which I think is a great representation of the human energy waiting to burst with potential. And the end lines, in your living, our death is brought to life. There is such a wonderful sense of spiritualism within that. So wonderful write and very well done. And your thoughts, Rex?
The rise and the fall of empires, kingdoms, countries, states, whatever you want to call them. It's the rise and fall of individual sections of note, and that all goes forward generation upon generation. As like I said, it's in the decaying bark, it's in the morning, it's in the clack of the shell beaches, and the acerbity of licked wounds, the petrichor boat of clouds. Everything is there from the beginning of time onwards. The idea of in you living, our death is brought to life. The idea of remembrance and seeing what once was and what now is, and being able to translate that history into thought, being that can be taught, it can be looked upon, could be dipped into again and again and again, as long as we don't fall back to a noted angle of, say, going back into the Stone Age, so to speak, with some kind of cataclysm, or destroying ourselves in the meantime.
Mm. So true. Amen to that. Yeah, I like that. The idea of, you know, although we don't always obviously learn from history, but that we have the potential to learn from it, you know, that we have that potential to grow. And unfortunately, though, oftentimes our stubbornness leads to our destruction. So great comment there, Rex. All right. What do we have next?
Postwoman, kind of, Postwoman deleted her, so we don't have that one.
Oh, okay. Well, you can put my poem up if you want.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
All right. So this was actually, I wrote it just in case it was needed for, you know, the last show in our craft that I did with Jody. And it was inspired by the poem Translation by Anne Spencer. And I won't read that poem, but I will recommend that, you know, if anybody gets the chance, go ahead and read it, because it's a beautiful poem. And this is, The Night Speaks to My Soul. The night speaks to my soul in a lover's spiritual voice. I am the embodiment of pine cones falling to the earth, philosophizing in the sanctuary of the soil. And I say to the night, to the stars and all that it is, will you be mine and mine alone? He is never dismissive of my feelings as he pours a silver goblet of light upon the nocturnal energy, gently stretching in their awakening awareness. He must remind me that the nighttime, the moon, the stars, the song of the owl, the howl of the wolf, and all it is will never belong to me alone. I cry tears of sorrow. I cry tears of wonderment and joy. I hear the hunting of the prey, the stirring of life. I see the belt of Orion. I drink from the Big Dipper. I've stitched a corner of the night in my heart, a small sense of peace to belong to me in a journey of harsh light. End poem.
Nice read there, Pam. All right. The night speaks to my soul in a lover's spiritual voice. Some people would roll into that note of indigenous thoughts, but it goes deeper than that, because every culture around the world that we pay some deference to nowadays has always embraced the evening. They've always looked up to, watched the stars, watched how they course across the sky during the course of a year. And over many years, you know, go to Egypt, you go to the Maya, you go to the Inca, you go to the tribes in Africa, you can go to Eskimos up north, to the people on Easter Island, to the peoples of the Mesopotamia. All of those countries, all of those peoples revered the night sky. They walked the world, planted, reaped, sowed, and took care of their animals through what the night sky offered in relation to the stars, and they brought it down to earth. And as above, so below, so to speak. You look at Giza, the set of the pyramids, that is Orion's belt. You find that transposed across the world in all cultures. They were quite the astronomers, as well as mathematicians, as well as philosophers as to what all that means and how it transposed itself to the meaning of life on the ground. And this kind of walked that very same angle.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rex. Yeah, I was trying to get across the idea of a reverence for the night, not only for the sky, but the everything that comes to life in those nighttime hours, and how it just offers up that sense of peace and wonderment. So very cool. I like that. Well, we got through all the rites plus an extra one. Amazing show tonight, Rex. Thank you so much, as always. Thank you to Robbie, Rozzy, and Hats for hanging on the board. Thank you, Fill My Eyes, for everything she does. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later, we truly appreciate you all. Our shows just wouldn't be the same without you. Please make sure to keep an eye out on the topic boards and contests put out by our late night poets, hosts and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And let's see, Rex, what we have lined up for this coming up week. So we have at 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, Friday, Fill My Eyes and Company with Poetry, which is our open poetry show. Saturday, we have Part Sinner, Part Saint with Aphasiana, and she always has interesting contests with great quotes to check out. Then Saturday, 10 p.m., unfortunately, Captain B2 is still sick. We hope she feels better soon. But Louie Wildove will be doing a show on for her at the time period of 10 p.m. She will be doing front page picks and open poetry. And then that leads us, of course, to Rhythm and Rhyme on Sunday at 10 p.m. What will you be doing for that show, Rex?
For what?
Oh, for Rhythm and Rhyme on Sunday?
Oh, it's part two of Beatles Revolver and open music.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a great combination of the Beatles and open poetry. Oh, I see why you're not listening to me. You're too busy playing with your alliteration. And yeah, we have a lot of great contests running. I know next week for After Midnight, we're doing carryovers. For The Art of Seduction, we're doing carryovers. I have four contests right now myself. I have Break On Through, Take a Seat, The Art of Seduction, Valentine's Day, Twisted Tuesdays, The Art of Sunisha Kashawelski, and Echoes in the Dark, The Cockroach King. So make sure to check those out. And great show tonight, Rex. Thank you, and have a good night, everyone.
Good night, gang. Good night, Pam. Roz, Hats. Arrivederci. Oh.